Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi. I will take you through Chapter 5, which is Artificial Intelligence in Supply Chain Management. The topic we are covering today is Demand Forecasting and Inventory Management. Agenda for this chapter is Demand Forecasting Overview, Inventory Management Overview, Demand Forecasting Using Artificial Intelligence, Inventory Management Using Artificial Intelligence, Benefits of AI in Demand Forecasting and Inventory Management, and finally we will summarize. So let's look at the Demand Forecasting Overview. Demand forecasting is a critical function in supply chain management that enables businesses to predict future customer demand accurately. And this demand forecasting can be the near-term or it can be mid-term or it can be long-term. So demand forecasting can be, you know, for the next month, can be for the next 6 months, or it can be for the next 2 years. So what are the key factors in arriving at a demand forecast? So one is the historical data analysis. So historically, how you have been selling the products. Second is the market trend assessment. What are the market trends? Like, for example, if you look at the cars, etc., there is an increasing trend where hatchbacks and sedans are selling less in number, and you find that more and more SUVs or pseudo SUVs are selling in the market. So this is one of the market trend which can decide the demand forecasting. Seasonality impact. So in many of products, you find that the sale is seasonal. Like, for example, if you look at garments, garments sell mostly during the festive season or during the wedding seasons. So seasonality plays an important role. External factors evaluation. So there could be other factors, economic factors, like recession or inflation or GDP growth, etc., which can actually impact the demand. So when there is a recession, it's natural that the demand for items which are discretionary in nature, discretionary spending, there will be a fall in the consumption of these items. So what are the benefits? Informed decision making for resource allocation. So when you have raw materials which have very long lead times, let us say you are sourcing raw materials globally, where the lead times could be 2 months. So decision making as to what you need to order from your supplier, this becomes crucial. So the demand forecast actually helps you make that decision. Efficient production planning and inventory management. What will you plan as far as the production is concerned? And what are the inventories that you're going to build? Inventory is not only the raw material inventory, but also your finished product inventory. More important will be the raw material inventory, where your lead times are very, very high. Minimization of excess stock and shortages. The two, nightmares for a materials management, because you don't want to land up with excess stock. At the same time, you don't want a stock out to occur, because both will mean financial impact. Cost reduction through optimized operations. So when your forecast is accurate, your inventory will be managed correctly, and your operations will also be managed very efficiently, giving you the best mileage in the market. So cost reduction through optimized operations. Enhance customer satisfaction by ensuring product availability. Because when you are able to predict correctly, then you are able to make the product available in the market when the customer needs it. So what are the objectives of demand forecasting? Ensuring optimal stock availability. We already saw this, and we said that optimal stock means we are not overstocking, neither we are stocking out. That is what we mean by the optimal stock. So we predict the future customer needs for a balanced inventory level. And inventory levels are decided by the forecast which we get. So it prevents issues like overstocking and stockout, supports smooth business operations. So when we have accurate forecast, we can plan the production based on the stocks we already have to meet the market requirement. Number two, effective production and procurement planning. So accurate demand forecast will help businesses structure production schedules efficiently. It will ensure optimal use of raw material, labor, and resources. Sometimes the same raw material is used for multiple products. Now, if you know accurately which product is going to be in demand, which products are going to have a higher offtake, then you will use those raw materials for that product which is going to sell. Suppose you use the same raw material for a different product which does not sell, you are basically blocking your raw material, and to actually produce more material or to produce the product which is required for the market, you will actually have to seek fresh supply of the raw materials. So it also accurate forecast will ensure optimal use of raw material, labor, and resources. So labor is the manpower, resources can also be machines, etc. It reduces waste and it optimizes the cost. Aligning cross-functional strategies. So accurate demand forecast will synchronize marketing, sales, and financial planning with the demand trends. So you are not blocking your working capital, you are making the product available to the sales team. The marketing team, which is responsible for generating the demand, whenever the sale picks up, the product is available in the market. Improves pricing strategies, budget allocation, and targeted campaigns. So we all already saw that, you know, when the marketing is launching a campaign, imagine that a campaign is launched and the product stocks out because you don't have enough products in the market. So this can backfire. So having an accurate demand forecast will help prevent this kind of a situation. Enhances overall organizational performance. So when you have accurate forecast, you are producing material which gets sold off, which means that you are carrying minimum inventory. Your inventory doesn't stay in your stocks, and you are actualizing your raw material into a finished product, which is immediately, thrown into the market, and it results in revenue. Qualitative forecasting. So qualitative forecasting is based on expert opinions, market research, and customer surveys. So in many industries, there are experts who will actually predict what the demand will be like. So here, we don't go simply by the statistical forecast or the past trends, but we also go with the opinion of some of the experts, etc. For example, the experts may say that the future is going to be 5G. And since you're coming out with a 5G phone, in going forward, the demand for 5G phones will be high, and the demand for 4G phones or 3G phones will gradually vanish. So these are some of the expert opinions and opinions coming from market research and customer surveys. So these are useful when historical data is insufficient. You're launching a new product. So naturally, you don't have any historical product for that particular kind of a product. Now here, the predictions will be made based on the features. So just as we said, 5G is one of the features. Or it could be the battery life, or the capacity of the battery, or the size of the display, or the quality of the display. So, the predictions here are based on the expert opinion. Examples are Delphi method and market surveys. We have already discussed this. Coming to the quantitative forecasting. So here we use the historical data and statistical models. So you have a product which is established in the market, which is selling continuously. And here you have historical data available. You will find also patterns in this data. Like for example, you know whether the sales of this product are gradually increasing or they are decreasing. Also, if the sales are cyclic in nature, you know which are the seasons when the cycles are, there is an upswing or a downswing. One example is, air conditioners. Typically, air conditioners sell during the summer months or the months which are hot. So you will find that in western part of India, they will sell around the period of, let's say, April, May, maybe up to June. And again, they will be selling in the month of October, November, when there is a brief period of high temperatures soon after the monsoon. So this kind of cyclic data is also captured in the quantitative forecasting. These are effective in stable demand environments with a reliable data set. So when the demand is stable, even if the trends are growing or they are declining, but they can be still predicted. And the examples here are time series analysis or a regression model. So these are the cases where a quantitative forecasting model can be used. Causal forecasting. So here it examines relationship between demand and external influencing factors like economics, promotions, seasons. Seasons we have already seen, like festive seasons, wedding seasons, when certain category of products will suddenly increase. Economic reason, we said that things like inflation, recession, unemployment index, etc. These can have impact on certain categories of goods. Promotions. Suddenly, when you are promoting a new product with certain unique features, this can make a difference. Or there is a sale which is announced, something like a Black Friday or something. So these can have an impact on the forecast which is predicted. So explains how external conditions shape demand. Any external condition which is going to have an effect on the demand, this can be a causal forecasting input. Examples are econometric modeling. So here we say that when the economy is doing well, the demand will generally increase. When the wholesale price index or the retail price or consumer price index, these are falling, that is the time people have more discretionary power, discretionary spending. So that is the time that people tend to spend more money. Or there are certain times when bonuses are due, etc. So then these become times when there could be a sudden spending, especially when government is announcing certain salary revisions or payment plans, etc. Coming to inventory management. So inventory management oversees the tracking, control, and movement of goods from procurement to sale to maintain optimal stock levels while minimizing cost. So as we have seen before, this covers the raw material, ordering of the raw materials, storing of the raw materials, issue of the raw materials, and finally, when the goods are produced, then storing the goods and then transmitting them through the distribution channels. So what are the key objectives of inventory management? Ensuring the right product availability at the right time. You don't want to be caught holding inventory of something for which there is no demand and having a stock out of a product for which there is a high demand. Balancing supply and demand. So you want to be able to supply the material or the product which is in demand, reducing waste and improving profitability. So you want to ensure that you have the right products, the right materials, and in the right condition, so that you know there is minimum wastage and leads to higher profitability. Also, we talked about in some of the previous chapters working capital. So when you are holding inventory, it is nothing but your working capital. And if your inventory is not moving, it is basically your working capital which is getting blocked. So it's important to effectively manage the inventory. So what are the benefits of inventory management or efficient inventory management? It enhances your operational efficiency. Like I said, you don't require large warehouses. You can operate with lesser resources. You require lesser working capital. The working capital that you are blocking in terms of inventory also is reduced. Supports better customer satisfaction. So you're producing that material which the customer wants, and the material doesn't stay in your inventory. It is constantly moving. So the moment you produce it, the material is actually supplied to the distribution channel. So it results in better supply to the market without any stock out, which means a better customer satisfaction. Prevents overstocking and stock out. We have talked about this number of times. Minimizes storage and handling cost. So we talked about this also, because you require less storage space when you have inventory which is constantly moving and which hardly resides in your warehouse. So what are the importance of inventory management? One, cost efficiency. So it balances storage and procurement expenses. As we said, warehousing cost is a cost. Inventory holding cost is a cost, because inventory holding will also include the working capital cost, the cost of any losses, damages, obsolescence, etc., the insurance cost, etc., procurement expenses. So it also minimizes unnecessary stock holding, which again basically comes to the same point that we talked about. Number two is service levels. Ensures availability of products for customers, so that we ensure that the products are available to the customer as and when there is a demand. There is no unmet demand. Prevents stockout to enhance loyalty. I know cases where products were launched. When customers went to buy the product, they were told that the product was not available. Either it had stocked out, or the retailer had not received the stock as yet. What happens is people get discouraged, they buy alternative products, and it's a loss of opportunity for the company. Operational continuity supports uninterrupted production and sales. Fairly easy to understand, because you are producing what the market requires, and hence as soon as you produce the material, the material is available for sale, doesn't lie in your inventory. Eliminates delays in workflows. Again, I don't need to elaborate on this. Risk mitigation helps prevent obsolescence and spoilage, because if you're storing the material for prolonged time, there can be deterioration, there can be obsolescence. Imagine you have got 4G sets in your inventory, and the world now is looking for 5G phones. So in that case, your 4G phones, you will have to find a different market and maybe sell your product at a much lower price. So it there is a risk of obsolescence, spoilage, risk of pilferage, theft, etc., which are fairly common in large warehouses. Adapts to supply chain disruptions. So the risk mitigation should also adapt to any disruptions which can be in the form of the inward logistics or the outward logistics. So it needs to take care of any changes in the demand fluctuation or in the lead time fluctuations. So what are the types of inventory? You have the raw material inventory, which is essentially the input for manufacturing the finished goods. So these are procured from suppliers before the production. Work in process, so these are either partially completed goods, or these could be intermediate goods. That means they are partially processed and then kept aside as semi-finished goods. These bridges the gap between raw material and finished products. Sometimes the work in progress are the material which are waiting for the next step. That means few operations have been performed. Simply put, these are products which are issued to the production, but they are yet to be completely manufactured and declared as a finished product. So they are partially processed, and hence they are called as work in progress. Then you have the finished goods, which are the manufactured products, which are ready for sale, and these are stored until they are ready for distribution. So unless there is a requirement from the distribution channel, they are temporarily stored in the inventory. Safety stock, as we have said, these are the buffer stocks which take care of any fluctuation in the demand or any fluctuation in the lead time for supply. For example, we have seen the example of imported raw material which has a lead time of 2 months. Instead of 2 months, suppose it takes 2.5 months. So you need to keep some safety stock to take care of any such delay in arrival of the material, especially when you don't have any other option, any local source which can supply that material at short notice. Cycle stocks, so these are regular inventory for predictable demand cycles. So cycle stocks can be, you know, you have a fixed demand for a particular item to be supplied to a certain group of customers. So you are confident that these stocks, you know, you will be requiring, and these finished product you will be required to supply. So you are going to make these products and keep it ready for the customers to give a call off. Maintains operational stability. So here you are using it whenever the equipments are available, etc. At the same time, it could be based on an agreement you have with your customer that you will always keep a certain number of units ready and which can be supplied at short notice. Economic order quantity. So now we are looking at the concepts in inventory management. These are slightly old, but they are still relevant. So we have seen that economic order quantity is a formula which is used using the cost of raising a single purchase order on a supplier, the cost of carrying the inventory, and the cost of goods. So based on this, you are arriving at the optimal quantity which needs to be ordered, which will find the optimal point between the ordering cost and the inventory carrying cost, or the storage cost, as may be the case. So this balances between the ordering frequency and the holding expenses for efficiency. So what happens here is, products which have a very high inventory carrying cost and very low, let's say, ordering cost as compared to the inventory carrying cost, you are carrying very small quantities. So you may have multiple call-off or multiple receipt of this material during a month. On the other hand, there is a particular material which is low in cost, and the ordering cost is relatively high. So here in this particular case, you are ordering the material in bulk so that you know it meets your requirement for like 2 months or 3 months in some cases, because it's a very low value item, so that you can you don't need to order it frequently. The next one is the reorder point. So you in the reorder point, the orders for a fresh supply is triggered when your stock reaches a critical level. And this is normally used for, you know, your spare parts, etc. Like if you're holding ball bearings, etc. It is not predictable when you will require them. So you are holding a certain amount of stock. When the stock falls to a certain level, which we call as the reorder level or reorder point, then you order the next batch and replenish the stock. So this is based on lead time and the demand trends, ensuring a continuous operation. The next concept is safety stock. As discussed, the safety stock takes care of any fluctuation in the demand or consumption and the any variation in the lead time. So this is basically a buffer inventory for unexpected demand spike or supply delays, as discussed and the example that I've already given. It reduces the risk of stock out and disruptions. Next concept is just in time. So this minimizes the storage cost by ordering stocks only when needed. And this concept is most prevalent in the automotive industry, where normally they work with a single day's stock. That means they have replenishment of the spares or components, which are delivered to the assembler once a day, or maybe even multiple times during a day. So why JIT? It minimizes the storage cost by ordering stocks only when needed, so that you don't require any warehousing, reduces waste, and aligns inventory with real-time demand trends. Also, it saves on the working capital, because only when the material is received, from that day on, the cycle for payment starts. ABC analysis. So, as discussed in one of the previous chapters, the ABC analysis is where you analyze the products based on their consumption value. That means the total consumption value for a certain period is analyzed. Items which are accounting for 80% of the consumption value are classified under A. Those accounting for 15% of the cumulative consumption value are B category, and the remaining, the last 5%, are C category. And the ABC analysis follows the Pareto law, where A category, which accounts for 80% of the consumption value, basically only accounts for 5 to 10% of the total number of items. The B category accounts for something like 30%, and the remaining almost 60%, 60 to 70% is accounted under the C category. So here, maximum control is exercised for the A category item, which are high value, low quantity items. There is a moderate control which is exercised on the B items, where the quantities are medium, and the C items have minimum management because they have very low value and very high volume. So these are all the low value or low cost items. Traditional methods versus artificial intelligence. So legacy forecasting methods struggle with complex patterns, large data sets, and market fluctuations. So they have been using either statistical prediction methods, or even using experts to predict the demand, the demand forecast. AI's driven forecasting enhances accuracy, scalability, and adaptability using machine learning, automation, and data analytics. So what does it do? It uses the historical data, it uses the trends, the seasonality, And in addition, it also uses the market information, economic data, the world development, competition activities, etc. And thus, it arrives at a forecast which is supposed to be more accurate as compared to the traditional methods. So why is AI transformative, or the AI demand forecasting transformative? AI refines the forecast in real time, leveraging diverse data set for optimized decision making. So as we said, it is not simply looking at a fixed set of data like your seasonal data or your market trends, etc., or basically sales trend. It is looking also at market data, market development, your product mix vis-a-vis the competition, etc. So it is looking at a much diverse set of information before arriving at a decision. AI fosters agility, helping businesses adapt swiftly to dynamic conditions. So we have seen how AI is more agile. It is a real-time system which is constantly updating its predictions and even its actions autonomously. So, importance of demand forecasting, the foundational role. It is integral to supply chain management, inventory optimization, and strategic planning. We have already seen this in the earlier chapters also, that forecast is the key to inventory management, because forecast will decide how you order the raw materials, how you plan your production, how you schedule your production, how you plan your inventories in terms of your product mix, etc. So thus, it is very crucial for your strategic planning. Predicting demand ensures resources are aligned with market needs. And AI integrates this. So it not only looks at your past trends, but it also looks at the market needs, market trends, and bases its predictions based on that. AI's impact processes large volumes of data, capturing nuanced trends, enhances resilience and agility amid evolving market demands. So this is the reason it is much more accurate and much more relevant. Beyond simple trends, AI detects non-linear patterns missed by conventional models. It improves accuracy by adapting to evolving trends. So, example, we have already seen evolving trends like 5G. So it basically will, based on the features provided by your product, it will tell you what are the chances of growth, or what are the chances of demand going up or going down. Continuous learning and enhancement. Machine learning algorithms refine forecast over time through real-time feedback. So it is also learning based on the forecast it has been giving vis-a-vis the actual demand. So it keeps on refining its algorithms to improve the accuracy of the forecast over a period of time. Integration of diverse variables. So AI incorporates customer preferences, economic indicators, and seasonal shifts for holistic predictions. Depending on the kind of product, we saw seasonal shift as far as garments are concerned, economic indicators, as far as capital expenditures are concerned. Like, for example, the GDP or the advent of a recession or the unemployment index. So many of these will decide the demand for various category of product in the market. AI techniques for demand forecasting. So you have machine learning. This is a common thread in all the AI techniques. So supervised learning, as we saw, supervised learning is wherever the data is labeled. So you have linear regression, decision trees, gradient boosting, time series analysis, RMX, and these are some of the you know, you can say software which are available, Arrimax, Prophet, you know, for seasonal trends, etc. So, and of course, there are many statistical methods also which are available, which tend to, you know, basically identify trends or patterns, and based on that, learn to predict the demand. Deep learning, recurring neural networks, and long and short-term memory. So these are some of the deep learning techniques which are used to forecast sequential patterns with long-term dependencies. Convolutional neural networks. So these also analyze the spatial trends across the market. And deep learning is actually a subset of the machine learning, where you know, it basically tries to develop patterns, algorithms based on the past data by removing the noise. Reinforcement learning. So this optimizes real-time inventory decisions through the actual development, so that, you know, corrections can be made, and the actual you know, inventory and the output, the production, the operations can be aligned with the market demand. Natural language processing, sentiment analysis. So we already saw this in an earlier chapter, that the review from the customers, the feedback from the customers, the sentiments expressed by them, they also partly predict how the product is doing in the market, which is an indicator of how the product may fare going forward. Hybrid models, combining the LSTM network, random forest, for superior accuracy. So there are some hybrid models which used different techniques, number of techniques, to try and actually improve the quality of the forecast.